ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in to another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. My partner there is Scott Marsh. And Scott, we've got another great show on tap here on the radio station.
We always have great things to talk about here on this show, Frank.
Ken Morton Jr., the director of retail at Hagen Oaks, is going to talk to us about the brand new PGA complex at Frisco, Texas, and some of the new items we can expect to see in the shop coming up in the fall, probably.
I can't wait. The Super Shop, when it's restocked with all the new stuff, it's so fun to go over there and check out everything. And I know Ken's got an eagle eye. He's going to have some good stuff to talk about.
Indeed. Eric Mayer, who is a media executive in town and also the commissioner of our Wednesday Night Media League, is going to talk to us about his bucket list trip to Scotland. I think he played seven courses, and he talking about nerves on the first tee and things like that. That's going to be a fun interview.
It's going to be an extremely fun interview. He's a great golfer. He played college golf at Fresno State. So he's definitely somebody who can appreciate playing those, open level courses. And I can't wait to hear how he attacked all of them.
And I'm headed off to Pebble Beach this weekend for the Langley. Going to hook up with Sir Nick Faldo and Mr. Steve Young, and hopefully come back with some interviews for future shows here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
There's no doubt that you will. You and your friend Steve Young will get reacquainted, and I can't wait to hear Nick Faldo. And the Langley is such a great charitable event that you are such a big part of, and hosting that big fundraiser the night before. You get to all get out on the course at Pebble Beach. It's pretty special. Peter Jacobson will be there as well. I know you'll raise a lot of money for a great cause.
It's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. As always, we want to get right to the show, and coming up right after these messages, Ken Morton Jr. from the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Stay with us. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. Ken Morton Jr., the director of retail at Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, is with us. Kenny, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's always a pleasure, especially when you come back from one of your many buying trips, as you have done. How many days a year do you spend actually buying product to kind of keep that shop full? I mean, 50,000 square feet.
Yeah, too many to count. Probably in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 days a year, we're at varying buying shows across the United States.
Yeah. This one, PGA Buying and Education Summit, was held in Frisco, Texas. And I always, when I say Frisco, I always, kind of have this little nudge in the back because of living here so close to San Francisco for so many years. I think everybody on the East Coast would refer to San Francisco as Frisco. And you say that to anybody in San Francisco, they're not very happy about that. But we're talking about a different Frisco. We're talking about Frisco, Texas, and the PGA actually kind of moved lock, stock, and barrel from their home in Florida. They were there for many years and built this incredible new facility at Frisco, which you have had a chance to see because of going to this summit. Tell us a little bit about what, the PGA's new home before we get into this buying and education summit and what you have to offer coming up.
Yeah, so the facility is amazing. Everybody's going to get to see it firsthand via television here coming up because they're going to be the site of the 2027 PGA Championship. They've already had some U.S. PGA events there for seniors, but kind of all the world's eyes will be on this facility here in just a couple, 3 years. It's built around a Gil Hans design, and for those that might not be familiar with him as a designer, he is probably with Corin Crenshaw, probably the top one or two designer worldwide. He designed most recently the tournament that they held the Olympics at the last time. The golf course is very, very good. They've partnered with Omni on this amazing campus, and it's a beautiful Omni Hotel. The PGA has all of their offices just a little ways away, but it's really built around this area they call the District. And from an authentic after-hours golf experience, it's about as cool as anything that I've ever seen. So, for those of you that have been to Hagen Oaks, imagine a putting green that's as large as our parking lot.
Wow.
It's actually a little bit longer and just a little narrower, but from a square footage standpoint, it's about that big, and it's rolling in hills. I mean, it looks like there's VW bugs buried in some of the green, and it's from an experience, going out and putting with your buddies. It's the biggest putting green I've ever seen in my whole life, and I've been to a lot of golf courses, and that's kind of the centerpiece to it. It's all lit. And there's a pathway that goes around this large putting green. There's a beautiful practice short game facility where you can pitch and chip that's all lit. Gil actually designed three par threes that are lit that you can actually either take your clubs or rent clubs out and go play as late as you want into the evening. There's this awesome barbecue restaurant that backs right up against a nightlit driving range that has Top Tracer on it. They've got multiple stores that are open into the evening, an ice creamery. Topgolf has actually built a restaurant that has, it's a restaurant bar that has hitting simulators in it. So if you don't want to actually go play real golf, you can actually go in and play any one of a number of different golf courses around the world while you're having dinner and drinks with buddies and friends and family. They have the largest television that I've ever seen that is looks like it belongs in a Major League Baseball stadium that kind of towers over all of this, that's playing sporting events and giving you news on and updates on things that are going on there in the district. And just on the bottom portion of that is a large overhang that they can actually have concerts at with this cool grass berm and have live music into the evenings. And so, again, I think they're going to have lots of, golf trips and people coming in. They've got these awesome villas that are four bedrooms that open up into a common living area that, as you're walking from the Omni Hotel over to the district, you're passing them on the left and right. And if you've got four buddies or eight buddies that want to make this kind of golf mecca trip, you will not only have this awesome golf experience during the day, but you and your pals are going to be, putting for money and having the time of your life into the wee hours of the morning down in this district area. And again, as an authentic after hours golf experience, I mean, if we could pick it up and drop it on our Hagen Oaks driving range, we would in a minute. It's such a cool venue and so much fun to be at.
I'm tired listening to you. I mean, it just you sound so overwhelming. It's like, where do you go next? And that large, well, you can't really call it a television, but that large monitor, whatever it is, just as a centerpiece. I think we should probably quickly point out that we're talking about the PGA of America, which is the organization that represents the club professionals, and not the PGA Tour, which is the folks we see on television. So they're two separate organizations. I mean, if you're a PGA member, you just have to be blown away by this and pretty proud of what your organization has done.
Yeah, very much so. They've got, lots of memorabilia around the Omni Hotel, and then in between the district and the Omni Hotel is the clubhouse for the golf course. And like inside there, they have the restaurant called the Ryder Cup Grill. And when you walk into the foyer, there's all this amazing memorabilia on the walls and in glass cases and in televisions that are playing. And I mean, you have, Sam Snead's golf set that he won his Ryder Cup event in, and stuff with, Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino. And I mean, just everywhere you turn, if you're a golf geek like me that, totally loves the history of the game and is, encapsulates the kind of what is really special about the traditions of our game. Every corner has something where you're just, you know, in awe of, and it's a really, really special place. They've done an amazing job. Like I said, Omni is their partner, and they put up the lion's share of the funds on this. But it's really, really first class. If I'd very much encourage, if you have guys that like making guys trips to places like Bandon Dunes and to some of the dormy clubs around the country, put this on your list. It will very much be worth your while.
We're talking to Ken Morton, Jr., Director of Retail from Hagen Oaks, about his recent visit to the PGA new campus in Frisco, Texas. Scott, it sounds like our kind of place, Disneyland for golfers, huh?
I think we need to do a Golf to Go show from there. And, you know, Frisco, people don't realize it, but it's also the home of the Dallas Cowboys training camp. It's the home of the Division I, quote unquote, AA football championships. I mean, the Frisco area is absolutely amazing, Ken. And you got to experience that. You know, one thing I just wanted to ask you overall, because, you know, Hagen Oaks is kind of the equivalent in our Sacramento area. You know, share with people just, you know, in terms from the super shop to the performance center to the miniature golf to everything you have out there, just how rare that is. I mean, we're talking about Frisco and how amazing this facility is. I think people sometimes lose a little perspective about how amazing a facility you have put together right here in Sacramento.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's a public facility like Hagen Oaks. There's just not very many of them, you know, most likely because a lot of them are located in communities and there's rules on how late you can have the lights on. And the evening portion of that is dynamic when you have homeowners in and around an area. And, you know, in some cases, like, you know, like William Land Golf Course, they don't want a whole bunch of people down there in the park at nights, you know, that because that's a place where people are living. And Hagen being surrounded by all sides with freeways, it makes it kind of a unicorn in the business. And we've been blessed to call it home all these years and have a wonderful support partner like the city of Sacramento to be able to do a lot of things that we've done. There's, you know, there's some resorts that have done it and done it in their own unique ways. But this was kind of the first thing that I've seen that kind of was like Hagen Oaks, but in a far grander scale. I mean, if we had, you know, another 50 acres down on the driving range and unlimited amounts of money, we would probably build the exact same thing that the PGA of America has done.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. From a merchandise standpoint, as we're right in the thick of the dog days of August, just curious what the latest and greatest are in terms of summer trends as we approach Labor Day.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what the show was kind of centered in around. So we've been on this show talking about the PGA show in Orlando every January. They have a second, much, much smaller show that is traditionally been held in Las Vegas, and they've moved that show to Frisco. And the good news is with the move, the amount of vendors that they had at the show went up about threefold, and the attendees that they've had at the show went up about sixfold. And so it was a really robust show. They had about 165 different golf vendors that were there. And putting in perspective, at the PGA show in Orlando, there's about 850. So it's still smaller, and it's much more driven in and around soft goods. But we've actually found a lot of new apparel vendors at the show, and actually a couple of new club vendors, actually a couple of new golf ball vendors even. There's a brand called Penfold, which if you've been around golf a long time, that's the ball that Seve won his major championships with. And Nick Faldo actually carried a Penfold golf bag the first time he won the British Open. They are back in the marketplace. They're actually, they've bought the UK license and are relaunching the Penfold golf ball. And then one of the ones I found, oh yeah.
I don't want to interrupt, but yeah, for the trivia geeks, if I'm not mistaken, that's also the ball that James Bond used to defeat Goldfinger.
Oh, you're wow. Exactly right. Yeah. In fact, they're going to, next year is the anniversary of Goldfinger, and they're actually going to release a golf ball that's numbered 007 on the golf ball.
Oh, that's
cool. How much fun is that, right?
That's awesome.
Great.
Yeah. See, Frank knows his James Bond trivia. So
absolutely, he does.
Yeah. The other one that really kind of stood out for me on the golf ball side was a new golf ball called Renegade, and it's actually owned by a African American gentleman, and he actually has a Charlie Sifford signature golf ball that he's going to be launching in that. And if you don't know your golf history, Sifford was kind of the pioneer of golf. He was the one that kind of broke all of the color barriers on the PGA Tour and really paved the way for people like Calvin Pete, and even to this day with Cameron Champ and some of the people. I mean, they look on Charlie as kind of the one that kind of was the Jackie Robinson of golf. And he's partnered with the family, and a portion of that is actually going to go back to the Sifford Foundation to create opportunities for youth of color to actually learn to play the game of golf. And really, again, breaking into the golf ball business is difficult, but the story behind this is really unique and powerful. It actually really resonated with me. So we'll have both of those in the store here in the coming month to 2 months.
That's pretty cool. What's new in soft goods?
New in soft goods is a lot. So there is a social media sensation called Good Good, and you guys probably have a lot of listeners that watch the YouTube videos and social media. They have when they release a video, it gets somewhere between 1 million and 3 million watches usually, and it's a bunch of guys that just video and record their golf experience. They have launched, and actually they signed $1 million endorsement deal with Callaway earlier this year. This is how big of a sensation they are, and they have launched a new apparel and headwear line called Good Good, that's going to be a very big thing in golf, where we think it's going to be a big sensation. And then on the lady side, Spanx, which is the shapewear that women put on underneath their dresses in order to hide curves that they don't want to curve, is actually getting into the golf business. And so they have dresses and polos and skorts and shorts that all have the shapewear actually built into the garments. And I had three of my buyers back with me, and they were very, very excited about this. They think it's going to do really well. We think it'll probably be one of our top three or four best-selling ladies lines by the end of 2024, and it's literally brand new. So they think it's going to do really, really well.
You have a couple more things we want to talk about, but if you don't mind, let's take a little break and we'll come right back and talk a little bit more with Ken Morton Jr., Director of Retail at Hagen Oaks. You're listening to the Golf to Go radio show on Sactown Sports 1140.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
We are back on the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marsh and Frank LaRosa just amazed by what Ken Morton Jr. has discovered at the PGA Buying and Education Summit at Frisco, Texas. Kenny, what else can we look forward to seeing in the shop?
So again, lots of apparel at this particular show. Probably my most unique experience was talking to a new apparel vendor that's literally called Made by Hippies. And he is a flower child of the 70s, stuck in 2023, and he's coming out with a line of hand-dipped tie-dye golf shirts, and they are so much fun and so cool. And he is so hippy dippy that it just makes the whole package super amazing. And so we think we'll have a couple dozen of these in the shop at Christmas time. If you looked at the gentleman behind this, you would go, yes, he makes this line called Made by Hippies. So
That's really cool.
in the stoic kind of buttoned up golf industry, he stands out like a sore thumb, without a doubt. So there's a new line called Faraday, and it's not connected to David Faraday. It's actually a Nantucket driven line. That's kind of a sportswear, kind of a little bit preppy, really, really wonderful fashions and really cool fabrications that they have in it. That'll be another new line that you're going to see kind of explode across the golf landscape. Another one from that Nantucket area is a women's line called Tucker Knot. And same thing, it's kind of preppy, kind of gives you a little bit of a feel of, the old, sailing type of influence up there in the Massachusetts, northeast area. Our lady buyers again thought that was really kind of a unique experience. And then one that was probably across four or five different vendors is this kind of new evolution of really high-end handmade head covers. So we're lucky. We have a vendor here just locally here up in Rockland called PRG that makes these cool head covers, and we carry them in the store. But these are people like taking exotic leathers and woods and corks and literally building these one of a kind beautiful works of art for high-end resorts and country clubs. And I mean, some of these head covers retail for $100 and $200, but they're literally works of art. I mean, they're stunningly beautiful. And again, a lot of craftsmen. Golf's gotten so popular that people coming outside the golf business kind of applying their artisan skills and kind of entering the marketplace. And so one of the ones we really liked was a vendor called Dormy Golf, and they again beautiful, beautiful head covers that they're doing. So you'll see a handful of those in the Christmas time. Very limited because they're so expensive, but lots of fun stuff like that.
We talk about the game. The growth of the game certainly started, or the regrowth, I guess, during the pandemic, and has continued to grow. And we look at that in terms of the number of players as golfers, because that's what resonates with us. But as you just mentioned, there are all of these ancillary kinds of businesses that are now seeing the growth in golf and the buying potential of players and coming to the market with new products that probably never would have thought about doing, 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's really amazing that the growth is not only in players, but also in the economy as well.
Yeah, and really it's getting younger and way more diverse, and that's a great thing for our industry. I mean, you just look at like some of the musicians and actors that are dipping their toe into this. Macklemore, the artist, the musician, has a apparel line that is actually doing quite well in golf now. Steph Curry is working with Under Armour on this cool, heavily urban influenced line within the Under Armour line that is totally made that Under Armour customer younger, and for the teenagers and 20 somethings, they think it's super cool. Another one is a line called Municipal that Mark Wahlberg is behind. Very kind of streetwear, athletic wear, a lot of sweatshirts and fleece and t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. But you're seeing that pop up within the golf industry too. And I for me, being from a public municipal golf course with a, our clothing restrictions is that you have to be wearing clothing out on the golf course, whereas a lot of the private clubs, it's much more traditional. I think it's great because it's really welcoming, and people, whatever background, whatever their history is with the game, it's gonna kind of find their niche and make them feel welcome.
Yeah, I like people being able to show their creativity, while they're playing golf and being comfortable with it. Of course, one line of clothing that we haven't talked about is the official shirt for Golf to Go and Sactown Sports. And just curious in terms of your creativity and what you have going on with the line there.
Yeah, so Backspin is growing. We have a new line that's going to be shipped in about 2 weeks. Lots of fun designs, and what we try to do with that is kind of create an emotional response with trying to draw humor out. So one of the shirts we have coming out has it's a gray shirt with little black bombs all over it that have F's on each one of the bombs. So it's an F-bomb shirt. So rather than scream it out on the golf course, you can just wear it proudly while you're wearing on the golf course, and kind of have a kind of preeminent cuss words as you're teeing off the first tee. And so Going into spring next year, we've got a whole bunch of lines of t-shirts and other designs. We took the Game of Thrones logo and changed it into Game of Club Throws. We have the Bushwood ordnance removable team. And again, just trying to take some of the fun twists on our golf and bring a smile to it, not take ourselves very serious. And that's kind of where our niche with that has been.
Kenny, what started as as just another little project that you didn't need to design some golf shirts has really developed into a nationwide organization that is helping to sell this brand. And not only is it just shirts, but you've expanded the line of products you offer. I mean, it's unbelievable. Why don't you run through them?
Yeah, so we, for us, the creating that kind of entry price point to try to make the game as accessible as we can is getting harder. Golf's an expensive game, and so finding those kind of entry level price points was kind of the mission behind Backspin. So in the apparel, the t-shirts are $20, and the polos are $40, and we have a line of full package golf sets that the whole set that we help design is $300 with bag and everything. We have putters for $40, wedges for $50. We have golf bags that are $120 and $130. We have headwear and alignment sticks and range finders and travel bags and gosh, head covers, and the line really goes on and on and on. Pretty much any category that you can be, we've tried to source a value product directly from overseas that we can bring in. We have golf clubs that start at $7, and will actually be that the golf glove piece has been a crazy wild success. We're going to have seven different models of golf clubs in the springtime, from winter gloves to rain gloves to women's half finger gloves to leather and synthetic and mesh, and again, all of them under $10. And again, just trying to provide a really high quality product to a customer that wouldn't necessarily, want to spend twice as much from a major name brand, just to try to, again, create as much access and affordability to the game as we can.
I think this goes back to your dad's theory, in the 64 years that he was at Hagen Oaks, and maybe even certainly to Tommy Lopresti before that. But the growth of the game is so important to your organization as it is to many PGA professionals. But the way that the Hagen Oaks team jumps into it, especially like this, we're talking about making the game more accessible by making it a little more inexpensive for people that want to get in and try, and certainly can move on to more expensive clubs and clothing and everything else that goes along. But hats off to you and your team, and again the precedent your dad set so many years ago in trying to run a business basically, but still, find ways to grow the game and to make it accessible. That's a hard line to walk, and hats off to you.
Well, thank you guys. Yeah, I always say I've had an amazing compass with my dad and Tom. We're one of the only places ever to have two PGA Golf Professionals of the Year, and both of them believed very passionately in player development and making the game accessible to everybody that wants to come play. So it's been it's we've had good mentors, we've had good teachers.
And you can see it in it's getting, you talk about the size of your parking lot. Sometimes your parking lot is not big enough. I mean, you try to go in there, especially during the day when you got two golf courses going and lessons and everything else. It's obviously a very popular spot, and whatever you're doing it well.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we'll keep on the hard work here.
All right. I kept you much longer than we had intended. I want to talk about golf clubs and golf grips. So we're just going to have you back for that, because I think it's important. Just give us a hint of maybe what people should do in terms of replacing grips. One thing I find when I'm playing is that I'll pick up a club that one of my partners has left on the green as they're putting, and I notice how slick and and basically very difficult to hold the grips are. What would you quickly say to people about when and how to change grips? And then we'll have you back to kind of talk about the whole process.
Yeah, well, if you're avidly playing golf, the rule is probably once a year you need to replace your grips. And it's not just about like the hardness of it once it gets slick. With each time you hold the grip, your oils from your hand, the dirt from your hand are getting in that grip. And it's actually, you're progressively having to hold it tighter and tighter and tighter to hold on to it. And sometimes, that happens over a series of months or a year. And eventually you're actually the tensity in your forearms is dramatically different than when you first got your grips and they're really tacky, and that changes your golf swing. And so having something that is a new grip that is relatively tacky, or even just simply cleaning your existing ones with soap and water will help a lot. A great tip is don't leave your golf clubs in your trunk during the summertime. Bring them into a cool garage or cool into the house. That the grips heating up to 100, 120. I mean, what do our cars get? 140 degrees. And then cooling off over and over and over again. That'll actually decrease the compound of the grip over time as well. Again, just being able to grip a grip lightly and with a light grip will help generate more club head speed. And so just kind of keep that in mind as you're thinking about the grips on your own golf clubs.
Scott, once again, we've learned something.
We always do. It's always great to have you on, Kenny. Appreciate your insights. And just again, congratulations on everything you and your great crew's working on out there at Hagen Oaks.
Well, we appreciate the support. Love listening to Golf to Go every week.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Thanks to Ken Morton Jr. and Scott Marsh. And we'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. And Scott, we have a very interesting guest, a media executive here in Sacramento. Yes. But we don't really care about that part. What we care about is the fact that Eric Mayer is the commissioner of our Media Golf League. How about that?
Yes, he does a fabulous job stepping up to take over that a couple of years ago. And not only that, but a fabulous golfer. And I know we're going to talk to him about all of that. But most importantly, he just took an incredible trip over to England and played all the great courses over there. And I'm really excited to talk about his trip.
Eric, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank and Scott. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've known each other a number of years now. And I think not long after you moved to Sacramento, you and I had a chance to play golf out at Lighthouse in West Sacramento, a golf course that doesn't even exist anymore. But, it occurred to me that I don't know that I ever asked you the question, who put a golf club in your hands the first time?
That's interesting. I was 12 and a half years old, and my mom signed me up for golf lessons that summer at Diamond Oaks up in Roseville. And when I first hit a golf ball, I just got hooked at the time. It was amazing to swing this club around you and have a ball shoot out onto that range. And I'll always remember the very first time that we played or hit balls on that range, my ball hit someone else's ball in the air. and it ricocheted, and I go, oh my gosh, and it's never happened since. But yep, I was pretty young, seventh grade.
And you've certainly developed into a great player. There are recreational players that get out on the weekends, and you're really serious about your game. What are you, a one or a two handicap, something like that?
I like to say I like to keep it at a two.
That means he's scratch, Frank. That
yeah, means he's scratch. I understand, Scott. I just I just wanted it on record here. You're fun to play with, Eric. I know that a lot of people look to you for golf tips because you're very easy as you play, and you don't put any pressure on people, and So we appreciate, you know, your game and what you've done to help grow the game.
Yes, I actually have a love for teaching and helping. And I went into studying the golf swing about 5 years ago, and it's really helped all of us. Yeah, just a little bit easier way to swing it without hurting your back as we get older, and just a little bit more efficient than all the twisting and turning that's out there. So, yes.
You had yourself quite a trip, as Scott kind of referred to. You know, many people would say it's a bucket list. It'd be interesting to see where you rated on some of the places you've been. But you recently went to Scotland and played, am I correct in saying, 7 courses?
7.5 courses in 8 days, yes. We had a bonus 9 holes when we got there. Oh. So that was fun. And I will say we stayed at the Fairmont St. Andrews, and we didn't even know that there was a golf course at that hotel. Nonetheless, 36 holes. So we showed up that afternoon, Friday, and we went out and played 9 holes. And I had, back in January, I'd bought rain gear and all this other stuff. And short story is, that was the best weather afternoon we had the whole time. It was absolutely beautiful. Not a breath of wind, and the sun out for that 9 holes. And I said to myself on the 7th fairway of the 9 holes that we played, and I said, this will probably be the best weather we get all week. And it sure was.
you got some of the typical Scotland weather.
Yes, yes, yeah. We did. And it's a little unusual at the last week of July. Even the caddies were saying, we sure have had a wet July this year, and June was beautiful. So, yes, it was very wet.
Tell us, jealous folks, what courses you played.
Well, we started off at Carnoustie on Saturday afternoon, or Carnasty. And that was a very intimidating golf course, very, very difficult. We did start getting some rain on 10 and all the way through 18. And I didn't really know the course that well. I just knew it was really hard. And the wind was blowing, and there's this par 3 16th hole that from the tees that we played was about 250, and all of us hit driver and was 50 yards short on a par 3.
Wow.
So I finished bogey, 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 and broke 80 for 78. So I was really happy with that round.
And certainly you played St. Andrews. What was your favorite course of the courses you got to play?
Well, we did St. Andrews. We played the new course on Sunday, and then the old course, St. Andrews, on Monday. And that happened to be a decent weather day. No rain, wind only about 10 or 15. And when playing St. Andrews, it's interesting because I was kind of asking questions, because it isn't necessarily the best course that we played. It's like playing a museum. The first and 18th tees are like right in the middle of town, and the whole town's watching you play the 18th hole and the first hole. And just the anticipation of that day, they drive you down around at the bottom, below 17 fairway, and you hit 30 balls, and then you hop in a van and come back up, and you kind of wait around. And me and my friend Jason, we had planned this trip since we were 17 years old. It's a total bucket list, and we had planned it before COVID and didn't happen, and then we had to wait 3 years, so we got there. But the first tee at St. Andrews is a bit nerve-wracking. And the starter there, in his Scottish accent and really bad teeth, comes over and tells us, you know, okay, at the halfway house, make sure to grab a sausage biscuit and pack it away, because the seagulls will take it, and they'll even unzip your bag to get it. And he was trying to make a joke. But at the very end, he goes, gentlemen, the gentlemen, the first tee at the Old Course is yours. And you just got the chills as you stepped up there. And I was shaking my boots. I asked my friend, he's like, I am so nervous to hit the easiest golf shot that we'll have all week. You can hit it. The fairway's 200 yards wide, you know, and it's mowed like a putting green all the way on between 18 and one. It's kind of like a putting green. There's hardly any, it's just mowed really low and it rolls out. But I took it back and I got a 3-wood on it and just punched it down there, just down the right side, right in front of the water berm. And I had like 105 yards in, and I hit a wedge to 2 feet and made birdie on the first hole.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, I birdied the first hole at St. Andrews.
This
is great. And then I proceeded to come over the top and hit it way left on two over to 17. But it was really, really neat to just to start off. And I asked my caddy was 22 years old, and I was walking down the fairway and I said, gosh, I just was shaking and nervous. And he goes, Eric, I've been playing here since I was 4 years old. I probably played here 100 times and I still get nervous teeing off that first tee. And I've lived here my whole life. So he goes, I know exactly how you feel.
Well, with that kind of introduction, I mean, I was getting chills just hearing you repeat that. Scott, what do you think? You can you handle that pressure?
I can't handle pressure at Hagen Oaks on Wednesday night. How am I supposed to handle it at St. Andrews on the first tee? But what was it like standing on that bridge at 17 that, you know, it's just so famed at St. Andrews? Did you take a time? Obviously, I'm sure you took some photos of it. What was that like?
Yes, going across 18 was, you know, it's a really, really small bridge. It looks a lot different on, it doesn't look a lot different on television. It's just kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I will just say this. We played our round. The course is designed a little awkward. It's not overly difficult the first time playing it, because all you're trying to do is miss those traps in the fairway. But standing on that bridge and taking the pictures was just fantastic. I of course got my jack pose with a raised right hand and said farewell to myself. And it just got group pictures, but everyone does it. You know what's interesting about that tee box is you can go as far left as you want. You really can't even hit it out of bounds if you aim that left. But down the right side is just the street of St. Andrews and these old iconic buildings. And if you hit a slice in that hole, it's the only golf course that you could hit it right and be in the middle of town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the weirdest thing. And you kind of just have to go left, but there's just cars parked and people walking by and shopping. But if you go right, you're like just, you know, in St. Andrews. So that was neat.
We're talking with Eric Mayer, who did his bucket list trip to Scotland. Eric, you played a lot of great golf courses. How does this trip compare to some of the other places you played?
Well, I was lucky enough to play Cypress Point, and of course Pebble Beach, and those Cypress is probably the best golf course. I will say that Turnberry was our last day, and that golf course is very spectacular. It's kind of the Pebble Beach of Scotland. And I would just say that the golf is really, really fun over there with the bunkering and you know, it's hard to get a flat lie and it just rolls. And I just tell my caddy, how far do I need to hit it in the air? You factor in the roll and the wind and everything like that, because, you know, I could be 190 yards out. And he's like, I just need you to hit it 150 yards short of the green and roll right up there. So it's just different golf. It's just really fun golf, just to kind of maneuver around these bunkers because they are basically a shot penalty if you go in them.
Yeah.
So 7 days, would you recommend people do that? I mean, the listeners are thinking, gee, I want to do that trip. Was that a little too much golf, or do you go into the theory, we're here, let's play as much as we can?
Yes. I think 7 days is good. I mean, for me, I could have played every day. We did have one off day, but that was fun to walk around town and go to the cemetery where Tommy Morris and his son are buried, and see a castle and the university around there. But yeah, it's golf every day. St. Andrews, the whole town is about golf. It's interesting. I mean, if you don't like golf, that's not the place for you. Even for the locals who grew up there or whatever, I mean, you need to like golf. Otherwise, the whole town is just golf. It's fantastic. And I did ask this question, which is kind of interesting. People say, what's your favorite course or what to play over there? And so I asked one of my drivers and I asked some caddies. I said, from the first tee box at St. Andrews in a 45-mile radius, how many golf courses would you say are in that circle? And the first answer I got was, oh, over 200. And I was stunned. And then they kind of redid the math. But because a lot of golf courses have 2, 3, 4 courses at them, you know, the facilities there. And so there's just so much golf that, I mean, you go there for a year and not play them all.
Scott, so sounds like we need to take the radio show crazy. There.
Yes, a golf to go remote to go for sure. That is awesome. Eric, separate topic. I'm curious, you know, your fellow Bulldog Bryson DeChambeau just shot a 58 this past weekend. Obviously, one of the great rounds. What's your greatest golf round ever that you've ever played? What would you consider?
Well, score-wise, I shot a 63 down in Woodbridge 1 year. There's 27 holes there, but I shot a 63. But probably a great round that I played is I shot 70 at Pebble Beach one time. And then my Cypress round, never seen that golf course, I had a 72 that day. And that was a lot of fun. And Olympic Club, I think the first time I ever saw Olympic Club, I shot 74. So I was happy with that.
Wow.
It's kind of more the iconic places. Yes. St. Andrews shooting, I shot even par at St. Andrews, and that was very special. I was really wanting that birdie on 18, but it just slipped out.
and as with always, time has us slipping out. Eric Mayer, thanks so much for letting us in on your experience in Scotland and St. Andrews, and I'll never forget, gentlemen, the first tee at St. Andrews is yours.
That's awesome.
Yes.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. This wraps up another hour. Appreciate you being with us. Get out, play the game. Keep it in the fairway, even if you don't. Have some fun.